Morning, everybody. Welcome to another lecture on compact star physics. The last time we discussed white dwarfs and the Chandrasekhar mass limit. Any questions about last lecture? Okay. Today we will continue with white dwarfs, but before that, I would just say that this week is the climate week, as declared by the Students for Future. And in reaction to this, I would like to read to you the press release by the German Physical Society of this summer. DBG renews warning of serious consequences of man-made climate change. More than four decades ago, the German Physical Society warned of the dangers of man-made climate change. Before the Bonn Climate Change Conference in June, the DBG now renews its appeal to do everything in its power to reduce the resulting additional greenhouse effect to a tolerable level. So Germany, Bartonov, 11th of June 2019. The climate is changing. How bad it will be for future generations is a matter of debate among scholars. And what can end catastrophically, for whom and when? In a press release in 1971, the German Physical Society, DBG, warned of an imminent impact of human activities on the climate and even wrote a memorandum in 1986, which prompted the prestigious German magazine Der Spiegel to publish a cover page on which Cologne Cathedral was flooded. Before the climate change conference from 17th to 27th June 2019 in Bonn, Germany, the DBG now renews its appeal to do everything in its power to reduce human-induced climate change to a tolerable level. Already many decades ago, scientists recognized that the temperature on Earth was sensitive to the concentration of substances now called greenhouse gases, carbon dioxide, methane, nitrous oxide, or the then threatening high amounts of hydrochlorofluorocarbons, HCFCs, as well as water vapor, which is essentially responsible for the natural greenhouse effect without which the Earth would be uninhabitable. The DBG does not ignore the fact that the climate is an extraordinarily complex system and that scientific modeling has not been completed. Okay, now comes the interesting part. If the combustion of coal, oil, or gas were not drastically restricted, physicists predict a carbon dioxide content of at least 500 to 600 ppm, parts per million, in the next 50 to 100 years, according to the memorandum of 1986. Today, the value is already over 400 ppm. 30 years ago, still 340 ppm. Around 1900, only 270 ppm. The concentration has thus reached a value today that has not been reached for at least 800,000 years. In addition, the experts assume that in the worst case, the Earth temperature would rise by several degrees Celsius compared with the end of the 1980s. A possible influence of the sun cannot explain the observed long-term variation in the Earth's surface temperatures over the past 100 years. It is highly likely that the 2-degree target proclaimed in December 2010 by the 194 member states of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change will not be met. As a result, the threat of tropical and subtropical pathogens spreading could make more and more people ill. In addition, sea levels could rise by up to 1 meter by 2100 in the worst case, although large spatial differences can be assumed. For Germany, for example, meteorologists are forecasting a growing tendency towards summer heat waves due to rising temperatures. The conditions under which the climate develops are demonstrably seriously altered by man, says Dieter Meschede, president of the German Physical Society. Even if we still have to act under uncertainty, the DBG repeats the appeal of the signatories of the DBG memorandum of 30 years ago because of the threatening negative effects of climate change on the living conditions of many people worldwide. It calls for consistent action and reorientation in human dealings with our planet in order to preserve our natural basis for life. Okay, you can read this online. I can give this around and can also provide you with the link if you want. And we can discuss this also in the exercise if you want. Now I would like to start the lecture. So let's continue with white dwarfs. By the way, this is maybe a good point to make advertisement for the next lecture I will be giving in the summer semester. I plan to give a course on astrobiology, where actually the greenhouse effect is a central theme in astrobiology. Okay, so let's start with white dwarfs. And we were just looking at the maximum mass, and now we're looking at the details of the composition of a white dwarf. And okay, Coulomb correction. So what we usually assume is that we have homogeneous matter, nuclei and electrons, and looked at the free gas or fermions. We took into account also interactions. But there's something else which appears if we have charged nuclei immersed in a sea of electrons. In order to minimize the Coulomb energy, those nuclei will form a lattice. So we have to talk about Coulomb corrections for white dwarfs. So nuclei plus electrons, they form a lattice. And this is indeed what is expected for basically the whole structure of a white dwarf, that we have a lattice of nuclei and electrons around. And also for the outer layers of a neutron star, we will later see that the first few hundred meters of a neutron star will also be composed out of a lattice of nuclei, like in a white dwarf. There will be corrections. We will discuss those. So, minimize Coulomb energy. Minimize Coulomb energy. So what one usually look at is the Migner-Seitz cell. This means the essential cell, which will repeat in all directions, which is the minimum cell. And you just look at one cell and then extrapolate to the total lattice, Migner-Seitz cell. And this is exactly the Migner-Seitz cell people discuss in solid-state physics, elementary cell, which then is repeated in all directions. So we have a given charge of the nucleus in this one cell, balances electron number, right? So Migner-Seitz cell we take with radius R0. We approximate the Migner-Seitz cell now to be just a sphere with a given radius. And then the total charge of the nucleus must be equal to the charge number of the electrons within the Migner-Seitz cell. So this is just a three-dimensional volume, 4 pi over 3 r cubed, times the number density of electrons. And E is the number density. Charge of nucleus set, balances electron number. Okay, Coulomb self-energy, we need to integrate now over the cell the Coulomb energy. And now of electrons. First, so the energy of electrons with electrons. So we integrate over the sphere, 0 to R0. And we have a charge at a given radius, R over R. and integrate over the sphere. We integrate over all the other charges, dQ. And Q of R is equal CE R cubed over R0 cubed. Yeah, so the charge density goes like R cubed. And in order to have the correct limit, if R is R0, then this is just C times E, where E is now the elementary charge. So we integrate the charges over all charges. In principle, this depends only on R. dQ.
The R cubed over R0 cubed is in the exponential value of.
Pardon me? This is taken to be for the Q of R, and then we have to replace the dQ with the dr from this expression. We sum over all charges which have this Coulomb force. And then we plug in the expression for the charge density. And one gets out, that's the 3 over 5, C squared, E squared, over R0. Yeah, so that's the electron-electron Coulomb interaction. Therefore, it has to go with the charge squared. And at the end, it goes like 1 over R. Okay. Now the same for the ion. Now we have to integrate over all electrons with the Coulomb potential from the ions. So for ions, so we have an E ion is then given by integration from 0 to R0 over all charges. And now this is CE over R. Yeah, so we have one nucleus sitting at the center with the charge set. Then we integrate basically all the Coulomb interactions with the electrons. And that integration gives a minus 3/2 C squared E squared over R0. The electron, the ions are fully ionized. So it's really a lattice where we have now a charge C in the center and then electrons around. Yeah, in the Wigner side cell. And the Wigner side cell has a total charge 0, of course, and that is the radius R0 of that sphere we're looking at. And of course, it's a Coulomb lattice, so if we plot then the lattice, of course it looks like this. Yeah, and there could be different lattice structures. So we haven't specified a lattice structure here yet. It could be body-centered cubic, face-centered cubic, or hexagonic, a hexagon shape like, right? So this is just the elementary cell we're looking at. And later on, we need to discuss, of course, then the Coulomb the Coulomb correction when we have now a different structure of the cell. So, yeah, this gives now a minus sign because in total this goes like 1 over R. While when we're looking at this expression here, this goes like R squared when we plug in Q of R. Yeah? So therefore, when we integrate over that one, we get a positive sign here. We get then a minus sign. So we have to add those two contributions. So in total, of the two contributions, we have the Coulomb energy of the Wigner side cell is the one of the electrons plus the one of the ion. And in total, this gives a minus 9 over 10 C squared E squared over R0. Yeah. So in total, the whole thing is negative. So it reduces the total energy of the system. The Coulomb energy reduces the total energy of the system. Yeah? This is repulsive. The electron-electron contribution is repulsive, plus sign. This is attractive, ion electron interaction is attractive, therefore minus sign, and they balance just in that case that such that it gives a factor minus 9 over 10.
Question.
Yes, question?
I don't understand, like, the charge. I'm not understanding what is written there, like Ze to the power of R cube or times R cube over R naught cube.
This is charge times E.
Yes.
Times R cubed over R zero. This is the elementary charge. Yeah. From the expression we have here, we can actually now replace the radius r0 of the sphere with the electron density and the charge of the ion. Yeah, principle. So we can replace this one, and then we just have a function of the number density of electrons and the charge of the ion. Okay, let's play with that. Then also we can calculate the pressure, but first a look at E Coulomb over each ion is then minus 9 over 10 C to the power 2/3 E squared, and then we have a 4 pi over 3 number density of electrons to the 1/3, which is just replacing this 1 over r0. Yeah, and there comes additional factor C to the 1/3. From this expression, therefore, we have here only a C to the 2/3. Okay, good. We can now calculate the Coulomb contribution for the pressure. And we use our thermodynamic relation, where we can replace now. This is the energy density. This is basically the energy in terms of the number density. So this is basically what we have in the thermodynamic quantity. So we can compute directly from there the pressure. This is n electron squared times d Coulomb over C for a certain cell with respect to the number density of electrons, and this gives a minus 3 over 10 C to the 2/3 E squared, and a factor of 4 pi over 3 to the 1/3 times the number density to the 4/3. So the interesting aspect is, first of all, it reduces the pressure, yeah, so it makes the system more stable. But it has a polytropic character, so it looks like a polytrope with gamma equal 4/3. Now, gamma equal 4/3, we have seen this before. This is when we have, for example, the relativistic limit of an electron gas. It has the same density dependence. Therefore, the equation of state we can write in the following form. It has the same form as for a relativistic gas of particles. Yeah, that's the general case. So we just have to look at, okay, this is a polytrope. It goes with a power of 4/3. So we immediately know, okay, this is like a relativistic gas. So it goes like 1/3 times the energy density. But of course, you have to be careful, because for a relativistic gas of particles, this is positive and this is positive. But here, for the lattice, both values are negative. Yeah?
I have a question. Can you differentiate the Coulomb divided by Z like this with respect to Ne, because Z is also a function of Ne? So you can
Yeah, okay. So the question is, why can we make, why is Z not an, also an independent quantity? It's basically determined by the number density of electrons. So what one does in reality is actually one that one looks at a certain lattice. So one fixes actually the ion, fixes the charge, C, and the mass number A, and then looks what is the contribution of that kind of lattice to the energy density and pressure of the equational state by minimizing with respect to R0. And by minimizing with respect to R0 and using this charge neutrality condition, then this is basically then fixed. So Z is an input quantity, not what isn't. Okay. It's an input quantity. So you start with a given set, and then you look what is the total energy of the system. Then you choose another set, another ion, and look, okay, is this energetically more favored or not? At the end of the day, what one does is one looks at all possible combinations of charge and mass of all the nuclei we know of and see what is the most stable configuration. So in that sense, C is changed, but at each step we fix the charge first, calculate the energy, see, okay, it's not, it gives that energy, but it's not the most stable one, but there are other combinations which are more stable. So we look on until we find the really the most stable one. This is what one does in practice. It turns out then for a white dwarf that the most stable configuration is actually then iron 56 because it has the highest binding energy up to a certain density. So if we demand in addition that we have an increased density, so that basically we force the lattice to be more compact by increasing the number density of ions, then the situation changes. Then in addition to that, if we make the lattice now more and more compact, to balance the charge, also the electron density has to rise and increase. And this pushes basically, now in a physical sense, pushes the electrons inside the nucleus and makes the nucleus more neutron rich. So protons plus electrons transforms to neutrons and it makes the whole nucleus more neutron rich. So at a critical density, iron 56 is not the most stable configuration anymore. If you do this iteration, turns out then that neutron-rich nuclei are the more stable configurations. So, if we look at this expression, we have a suppression of this contribution per cell, which goes like C to the 2/3 times E squared. So Coulomb term. It's suppressed by a factor C to the 2/3 times E squared. E squared over 4 pi is actually the fine structure constant alpha times C to the 2/3. And this is around 0.01 for helium. And it is 0.03 for carbon, what we have usually for a white dwarf. So alpha is the fine structure constant. Alpha, let's denoted as EM. So alpha EM is the fine structure constant. Yeah, basically alpha is E squared over 4 pi. It depends on which system you're working in, with whether you use the Gauss system or another system that comes with 4 pi in or not. Yeah.
Good. It's alpha EM, right? It's the constant.
Yeah, it's the fine structure constant. Okay. Yeah, where alpha EM now is about 1/137. Yeah, so this is 1/137 there about. Yeah, so it's suppressed by two orders of magnitude compared to what we have for from the contribution of the Fermi gas. So it is a small correction to the total energy. Nevertheless, if you really want to find the most stable configuration, this will be important, that effect. But the equation of state will not change drastically. So if we just choose the wrong nucleus, the changes will be in the percent level for the equation of state. Yeah? So the equation of state is still fixed by the Fermi gas pressure. It's just the composition which will change by minimizing the Coulomb lattice. Okay. Good. So let's discuss now the structure of white dwarfs. Any questions so far about this Coulomb lattice? So we're looking now at the structure of white dwarfs. So let's repeat some of the formula we had derived for the equation of state for white dwarfs. So we have the, now in terms of the, for, we're still looking now at the Fermi gas of electrons plus nuclei in a lattice. Taking into account effects from the lattice. So the number density of electrons in the Fermi gas approach was the Fermi energy of electrons cubed over 3 pi squared. Yeah. And for nucleons, the number density of nucleons by charge neutrality was given A over Z times the number of protons. And the number of protons balances the number of electrons, so the number of nuclei is given by A over Z times the number of electrons. Nucleons. So we have then the mass density rho is the mass of the nucleon. We take now here the atomic mass unit mu times the number of nucleons is mu A over Z kF electron cubed over 3 pi squared. Mu atomic mass unit. So at the outer layers, we will have an atmosphere, outermost layer, we will have an atmosphere. Let's assume this atmosphere would be a hydrogen. So the binding energy of hydrogen is 13.6 electron volts. Then we have a critical condition where we ionize the atmosphere, critical onset for ionization is basically when the Fermi energy of the electrons are about equal to the binding energy of the electrons we have in hydrogen. So the Fermi energy of electrons is kF electron squared over 2m electron is equal the binding energy. And now we assume it's given by a certain charge set. Yeah. And for the binding energy for a certain nucleus is the 13.6 electron volts. And if you recall your quantum mechanics course, this scales like, how does it scale with the charge? Anybody recalls how the binding energy scales with a charge?
I think Z
squared. Z squared, yes. So it scales like Z squared. And so this is equal 13.6 electron volts times Z squared. Yeah. So now we can compute basically the critical Fermi momentum, critical one, in terms of the charge of the iron to be ionized. And we can compute now the critical density is given by 2 to the 3 halves over pi squared a times z squared. Atomic mass unit, mass of the electron to the 3 halves, times the binding energy for charge 1, 2 to 3 halves. This gives a 0.378 gram per cubic centimeters times A times Z squared. That is a B, yeah.
Binding.
Yeah. So if A is 1, Z is 1, then it is at 0.378 gram per cubic centimeters. If we have carbon, it's about 400 gram per cubic centimeters. And for oxygen, it's 1.4 times 10 to 4. For iron, it's 1.4. So take the most massive one. So for iron 56, the critical density is 1.4, 3 times 10 to 4 grams per cubic centimeters. So it depends, of course, on the composition of the atmosphere, but definitely at the density of 10 to 4 grams per cubic centimeters, the atmosphere stops and we have a fully ionized lattice. So this is the first number to remember. Yeah. In that ballpark, we start going from an atmosphere to the crust of a white dwarf.
Question?
Yeah.
So would this density, critical density, be the density where the charge neutrality condition stops your load?
No, the question was, at this, does the charge neutrality condition stops to hold at this critical density? No, the charge neutrality is of course still fulfilled, but now not locally, because we have hydrogen atoms, but not globally or for a local atom, but now locally in terms of the Wigner side cell. So within the Wigner side cell, of course, we still have charge neutrality. So now, I was talking about a change in the composition. Of course, you can think of the lattice of nuclei with electrons. We take the most stable nucleus, and this will be the most stable configuration. But I was arguing that once the electron density is too high, we might get neutron-rich nuclei. So high electron density. We neutronize nuclei. Neutronization of nuclei. Yeah. So when does this happen? So we have therefore then a change in the composition. Yeah, instead of iron 56, we have something else. When does this happening? Now we need a corresponding energy scale when we have a change in composition. Question?
Yeah, we're talking about the structure of white dwarfs here, and I believe these things like the iron 56 and neutronization of nuclei is only the white dwarf gets so heavy that it's actually a neutron star. So are we discussing the boundary here? Or?
So the question was neutronization. This is happening at too high densities, which will only be reached in neutron stars, not in white dwarfs. Let us calculate the densities, and we will realize actually that those densities can be reached in the maximum mass configuration of white dwarfs eventually. So there could be something which is called pycnonuclear reactions going on, and which make nuclei more neutron rich. But as you state correctly, this is the limiting case. So this is only concerns the maximum mass configuration of white dwarfs. What we're discussing here will be more appropriate than for neutron stars. There we will put it to the extreme for neutron star crusts. So critical energy. Will be something roughly when the Fermi energy of electrons reaches the mass difference between the neutron and the proton. Then we can transfer protons to neutrons, basically. Yeah? So the Fermi energy is enough to make a neutron out of a proton. And this is 1.3 MeV, 1.29 MeV. So before that, we had 13 electron volts times Z squared. If you put Z equal for iron, which is 26 squared, this already is in the KeV range. Now we're going to the MeV range. And look, what is then the corresponding critical density? And one finds then the onset for neutronization is mu times A over 3 pi squared Z, mn minus mp cubed. And this is 1.57 times 10 to 7 gram per cubic centimeters. And it scales with A over Z. So has to be reduced by a factor 2 or so if we have ordinary nuclei. So it's at a level of 10 to 7 gram per cubic centimeters. In comparison to that, we can also calculate where electrons are becoming relativistic. And it turns out these are actually similar densities, around 10 to 7 gram per cubic centimeters. Also, the electrons are becoming relativistic. Slightly before that, actually, then electrons are becoming relativistic when their Fermi energy is equal to mass, which is half an MeV. So we are somewhere here where electrons are becoming relativistic. Yeah? So note, electrons are relativistic for a Fermi energy or Fermi momentum larger than the mass of the electrons. Good. Okay. Any questions about this? Neutronization? Yeah, now you can also easily calculate when electrons are becoming relativistic by using this formula. What else we can do is we can look at the thickness of the atmosphere and the other stuff, which is quite interesting. And this is done in the following way. Thickness of layers. For the thickness of layers, we use hydrostatic equilibrium. Hydrostatic equilibrium in the Newtonian limit. So dP over dr is minus g. M of r, rho of r over r squared. Yeah. And now we look at a certain layer. So we have this big sphere, and we have a certain layer around, let's say the atmosphere or so. So we have the radius r, and here we have a delta r. So dp over dr is an approximatelet as minus pc over delta r. Is about minus g m, the central density, over r squared. So pc and rho c are now the central values, not the critical one, central values. And the relative thickness we can express like delta r over r. Yeah. So from this, one gets that delta r over r is then about r over gm, central pressure over central mass density. Okay. What one sees here actually that this is just a compactness, this one here, 1 over c, the compactness. And this is just the ratio of the pressure over the mass density. And as we are working in a non-relativistic limit, this is much smaller than 1. So this is also much smaller than 1. So we can really use that for surface layers which are small compared to the total radius of the neutron, of the white dwarf. So now we can relate, now we can look at the pressure in the non-relativistic limit over the mass density. Yeah, and we noted that this goes like basically kf to the fifth power, this goes like kf to the third power, right? So we expect that this goes like kf squared. And if you plug in the expression we had for free Fermi gas, this goes like the mass of the electron times the atomic mass unit times A over Z. Fermi gas, yeah, this is for Fermi gas. And this we can rewrite as 2 over 5, the Fermi energy over the atomic mass unit of electrons times A over Z. Yeah. So we can plug in this number now for this expression, and we find that delta R over R is approximately given by R over GM times 2 times the Fermi energy over the atomic mass unit, C over A, period. And if we plug in numbers now, then this is 5.84 times 10 to minus 5. 10 to minus 4 for the compactness, typical compactness, and C times A. This is for white dwarf, the typical compactness.
Where did the 5 go? We have 2 over 5 EF MU A.
The 5 comes from here? From the Fermi gas expression, you get a 5. Yeah, you have to go back to what we discussed in dense matter.
What I meant is, why is it not in delta R over R? R over GM times times 2EF.
Ah, the 5 is missing, thank you. Okay, so this is the thickness of the atmosphere. And you see it's really tiny, at a level of 10 to minus 4. If we plug in now numbers here for the charge and the nucleus for heavy systems, then it will be correspondingly larger. Yeah? But for a white dwarf, it will be a few hundred meters then compared to the 5,000 kilometers we have at hand. You can do the same exercise now for neutron stars. And for neutron stars, you recover, of course, the compactness is then at the order of 1. So you will immediately see that this changes by a factor 10 to 4. And actually, it goes in the other direction. The compactness will be larger. So the whole effect will be to decrease the size of the layer, which makes sense. The more compact the object is, the more it compresses the outer layer. So instead of a few hundred meters, we will get actually just something like 0.3 millimeter for hydrogen, 4 centimeter for oxygen, and 40 centimeters for iron for a 10 kilometer neutron star. So really tiny. The atmosphere is really tiny, so we would not be able to breathe. I mean, can you imagine you have an atmosphere which is just a few millimeters? It will be hard to breathe. Anyway, it will be hard to survive on a neutron star. You will be grilled by the X-ray radiation or by the sheer force of gravity before you can breathe this hydrogen layer.
I think you would get ripped apart by the magnetic field.
Yeah, and you get ripped apart by the magnetic field. Yeah, thank you. I missed this one. Yeah. Okay. Any more questions about atmospheres and lattices, structure of white dwarfs? No? Okay, then we stop here and make a short break and continue with the exercises.